May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 477. Give me the wings of faith to rise within the veil and see the saints above. How great their joys, how bright their glories be. Hymn 477.
Let us
read together from the Word of God, the first epistle to John, reading from chapter 2. The first epistle of John, reading from chapter 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which ye have from the beginning. The old commandment is the word, which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith, he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth for ever. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son.
Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that every one that doeth righteousness is born of him. May the Lord bless that reading of his word of truth to us, and teach us how to pray. O Lord, merciful, kind, and gracious God, oh, do help us again to seek thy face this evening hour. Do come, Lord, and solemnize each of our hearts and each of our minds. Prepare us, Lord, to approach unto thee. And pray, Lord, that we may come in the simplicity and truth of the gospel, and in that professed way, Lord, that thou hast shown to us in spirit and in truth. And we do pray, Lord, that we may be helped to draw near to thee with a true seeking frame of heart and mind. O Lord, we do need thee, Lord, to draw us to thee. We need that unction from the Holy One, and the anointing of thy Spirit, that we shall be truly brought to be true seekers of thy face, that we shall be drawn to thee, and, Lord, to partake of thee in the gospel is a wondrous mercy. And, Lord, we do pray, come to each one of us, Lord, that we do pray that each and every one of us gathered here this evening, Lord, and those who may be hearing remotely, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to be with us and make thy presence known and felt in each of our hearts through the word, through the prayer, through the reading, Lord, of thy word and the preaching of the gospel. We do pray, Lord, that we may be brought into the wonderful experience of true union and fellowship with thee. And, Lord, a desire for thee, a desire and a love for thy name, a love for thy worship, a love for thy word, Lord. And, Lord, a love, Lord, for thy people, for the brethren. O Lord, we've read of thy servant John, one indeed who spake much of that love that subsists between God and his people, and that brotherly love, Lord. Oh, that we may know it. Oh, that it may be such a great part of our lives, Lord. That thy people have all been brought together and through one glorious gospel. What a mercy to be able to hear it and to be blessed by it with saving grace. And that, Lord, it is through that foundation laid for sinners upon Calvary's tree, a sure foundation for sinners to rest all their hope upon for salvation and redemption through the sin-atoning blood of Jesus and the forgiveness of all sins. O Lord, each and every one, Lord, shall be brought, Lord, to be true seekers, and Lord, it shall be through thy cross at Calvary. And if I be lifted up above the earth, will draw all men unto me. And then, Lord, to be each bound up in that bundle of life in Christ Jesus, brethren together, that body in Christ, the church, the mystical church of Christ, and Christ, the living head. Oh, we do pray, Lord, may we be drawn together, walk together, love together, seek together. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that we may be brought to see, Lord, that we have each, Lord, come forth through the cross of Christ. Then, Lord, help us to walk with each other. Help us to bear each other's burdens. Help us to pray for one another. Help us, Lord, to know and understand our failings and shortcomings, Lord, our faults, Lord. Oh, help us each to know that in a personal way, Lord. We shall never see perfection here below, Lord. And thou knowest, Lord, that we would not offend, that we would not sin. But, Lord, we do need thee, Lord, to keep us. We do need thee, Lord, to uphold us. And we do need thee to keep us together and in the bonds of love and peace. Oh, help us then, Lord, to please thee and to glorify thy name as we sojourn here below. And, Lord, may we be those indeed that shall be able to speak well of thy name, the wonders of thy grace to sinners. Oh, Lord, the unsearchable riches of Christ, oh, the unsearchable love of God to sinners in Christ, the mercy that should be shown and revealed to sinners, the all-sufficient grace that is able to uphold them and to keep them, unsearchable riches. And, Lord, the unsearchable riches, Lord, in thy compassion and pity and mercy that thou dost show to thy people. O Lord, there are those things, Lord, that we're brought to marvel at, Lord. Oh, but Lord, we do pray that we may be those, Lord, that shall oft come before thee in thankfulness and praise and blessing to thy name, to be helped to lift thee up and to exalt thee, Lord, for all the good and the great things that thou hast done and wrought for us by way of salvation. And then, Lord, a risen Saviour, now seated at the right hand of the Father, always ready to intercede, always ready to come to the help of thy people, always ready, Lord, to show pity and compassion, and always ready to hear the prayers and the petitions of thy people. And thou knowest, Lord, we have proved thee faithful. Thou hast been prayer hearing and prayer answering to us. Thou art faithful, Lord, in all thy word and thy dealings with us. And, Lord, keep us from complaining, Lord, from murmuring, we pray thee. And give us, Lord, those true thankful hearts. And, Lord, may we be helped and enabled to commit all our cause and concerns into thy hands. And then to know that wondrous truth, that thou art always ready to appear for thy people. May we know the throne of grace, and may we be helped to come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. Help us, Lord, by faith to live upon thee day by day, that the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that we may be those that shall continue in faith and to serve thee, and to be able, Lord, to know thy will and thy purposes concerning us, and to walk out that path that thou hast been pleased to ordain for us, Lord. Oh, help us to walk it out here below, Lord. Lord, we haven't been promised a smooth path, Lord. We have been promised trials and tribulations, Lord. And Lord, as we read those words, in the world ye shall have tribulation. Oh Lord, thou knowest that we shall need grace, that we will need thy help, Lord. We will need the unction of thy Spirit to come upon us, Lord, to comfort our souls, to bring the precious truths of the gospel to us, Lord, that thou wilt never leave us nor forsake us, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Oh, do help us, Lord, to be resigned to thy holy and thy sovereign will, we pray thee. Lord, we need real and true sufficient grace, Lord, respecting these things. Do be pleased to guard and guide us round about. Watch over us and keep us in all our way and path, Lord. There are many enemies about us, Lord, many dangers, Lord. And we do pray, Lord, deliver, keep and preserve us, and help us to abstain from all evil, Lord. And help us, Lord, to live upon thee and to serve thee and to give glory to thy name. And we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased then to go before us and to lead us and guide us all our journey through. And Lord, pray that thou shalt put a wall of fire round about us. Lord, thou knowest we cannot keep ourselves. And it is true, Lord, the word that thou didst speak to thy disciples, that without me ye can do nothing. And Lord, we need to be brought poor, Lord, and brought needy, Lord, and helpless, Lord, to know that truth, Lord, that without thee we can do nothing. Lord, nothing, Lord, of our own strength left in us, Lord. Oh, we pray, wean us from our own strength, our own will, we pray thee, and be pleased to work grace in our hearts, and humble us each under thy mighty hand. And Lord, the poorer that we are, the more needful thou wilt become to us. But show to us, Lord, it is a good place to come to. For there, Lord, being poor, we shall be brought to wait upon thee. We shall be brought to trust in thy name. And we shall be brought to cast our care upon thee. So, Lord, we do pray, work these wondrous truths for us as we journey forth here below. Show to us time and again, Lord, our belonging to thee, that we've been taken into divine ownership, that we're not our own anymore, but that we're bought with a price, the price of thine own heart's blood. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that we may be brought to see the wondrous truth, Lord, of that price paid, and where, Lord, all our debts have been put away from us, Lord, and that thou hast purchased us with thy sin-atoning blood. Oh, we do pray, Lord, help us then to continue and to know more of this belonging to thee and this divine ownership, Lord, and that we may be brought more and more to see that we're not our own anymore. What a mercy it is, Lord, to belong to thee. Oh, the the holy, the true, and the just and righteous God, and yet to be right with thee, Lord, through the Lord Jesus Christ, to please thee through him, and to serve thee through him, is our great mercy. Then, Lord, keep us then, and deliver us, Lord, from all evil. And thou hast been pleased to bring us thus far, through many dangers, both seen and unseen. We thank thee, Lord, that in thy providence thou hast walled us around, and that, Lord, none shall touch thy people, just as Saul could never touch David, and, Lord, just as Esau could never touch Jacob. O Lord, be that shield. Put thy fear into our hearts, and pray, Lord, that it might keep us and preserve us. And pray, Lord, that we shall be those, Lord, safely brought through, even unto the end. O Lord, keep us then and watch over us for good. Be with us in our homes, Lord. Be with us in our families, our children, children's children, Lord. O, we bear them each up before thee, Lord, that thou wilt watch over them and preside over their affairs, Lord. And as our young children and young people grow up, Lord, oh, that it may be, Lord, that thou art preserving them in thy providence, Lord, that thou art, Lord, watching over their path, Lord. And we do pray for that one and gracious and blessed reason, Lord, thine intended purposes of grace towards them, if it will be thy gracious will, preserve them, Lord, that day appointed might come, Lord, when thou wilt draw them to thee. Perhaps, Lord, it may be day by day and in our worship together. Thou art, Lord, by and through thy Spirit, showing them and teaching them their great need, Lord, as sinners. We do pray, Lord, come to them. We pray, Lord, that everyone, Lord, that worship here, Lord, that they may indeed be those so favoured and blessed, Lord, to be under thy divine providence and thy care, because thou hast a purpose of grace towards them. O Lord, we pray thee, be with those unable to attend with us this evening hour. Be with them where they are, Lord. Keep them and preserve them, Lord. And pray, Lord, that thou wilt be with them in all their way and path. And we do pray, Lord, and thank thee for the witness of the gospel here at Swavesey, Lord. O Lord, we do pray that there may be that continued witness in the souls of sinners, Lord, of their great need of a Saviour. Come to each, Lord, that not one should be left, Lord, outside of the secret of thy dying love to sinners. We pray thee, Lord. Oh, do come to each and every one, Lord, if it will be thy gracious will. And pray, Lord, that if there be anything that standeth and hindereth in their way and path, O Lord, come in thine almighty power, Lord, and remove all obstacles. There is self, Lord, there is sin, a rebellious self, Lord, a self-will, Lord. But, Lord, thou art able to humble, as thou didst break down that mighty man, that lion as it were, even Saul of Tarsus. And in a moment of time, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Lord, thou art able to do it, Lord. So be pleased to come and be pleased to appear, Lord, and show thyself that one indeed able to save to the uttermost even all those that are sinners in this world. Do, Lord, be with each then and undertake the cause and interest of each. Be with us in all our way and path, all our goings forth, Lord. May we know what it is to be subject to thee. But, Lord, we do pray that we may be brought to that wondrous truth, Lord, our belonging to thee, divine ownership, and that, Lord, to know the truth, Lord, that we are thy portion and thine inheritance forever. O Lord, may thou be our portion also and forever, Lord. Lord, we ask it. Do, Lord, look down upon us in all our weakness and insufficiency, in all our sin, in all our misery here below, our sad departings from thee. Come and show mercy, Lord. Lift us up above all these hindrances and these inferior things. Draw us near to thee, Lord, and cause our souls to take delight in thee, for thou hast done great things for us. Do, Lord, help us now to turn to thee, Lord, and be pleased, Lord, to help thy servant to speak in thy name. Lead him into thy truth and teach him. And let thy servant decrease. Let Christ increase through the pulpit. Let thy servant be nothing, but let Christ be everything. Lord, we ask it to the honour and glory of thy name, and be pleased to speak thy wondrous gospel into the souls of sinners here this evening. And we ask it in that all precious name, seeking the pardon and forgiveness of all our sin. For Jesus' sake, amen.
Hymn number 82. Rejoice, ye saints, in every state. Divine decrees remain unmoved. No turns of providence abate God's care for those he once has loved. Hymn number 82.
Thank you.
seeking the help of the Lord, the Holy Spirit. We would seek to draw your attention to the first epistle of John, chapter 2, and by way of a text reading from verse 17 and the first clause in verse 18. The first epistle of John, chapter 2, verse 17, and the first clause in verse 18. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time. Pray that the Lord will help me to say something of this verse. It is a wonderful beginning to this chapter 2. I've thanked the Lord for it, particularly of God the Father, that we have an advocate with the Father. Don't know, dear friends, where I would be this day without this advocate. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. For there is no man that sinneth not. No man that sinneth not. John understood that. If any man sin, he knew his own heart. He knew the solemn changes that could take place in it. The failings, the shortcomings, the vain thoughts, the imaginations, the evil. And that evil that Paul suffered with when he would do good. But this is the advocate that Paul thanked his Heavenly Father for, I thank God, this advocate in Jesus. Dear friends, it suits my poor soul. I couldn't continue without this advocate. Because, dear friends, for my sins, they would overwhelm me. I would be overburdened with them. I wouldn't be able to continue. But we have this advocate. The times that we discover that there is no good thing to be found in us by nature, that we have that old nature still working in us, it proves to be still a great enemy. But we have an advocate with the Father. Jesus Christ the righteous, a propitiation for our sins. What a mercy it is that we can flee to him and to find that mercy that flows through his precious sin-atoning blood. It is the only comfort, the only rest, the only peace that we shall find for our poor souls, is finding our refuge under the fountain of his precious blood. And it is he alone that is able to cleanse and to heal and to restore. It is our mercy, dear friends. But if you're like me, you'll be fleeing to this fountain, dear friends, day by day, till the end of our days. That's how I feel it to be. John also was one. It was one that truly could speak well of that love of God, but also the love of the brethren together. And it is proper for us to love one another, to understand each other's failings and shortcomings. We'll never be perfect in this life, dear friends, but we need to understand it of each other. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment in the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. Let that true light of our God shine into our hearts, dear friends. It will cover, yes, all our failings and shortcomings, and it will help us to understand, dear friends, each other's failings and shortcomings. That it doesn't separate us, that it doesn't break that bond of love. It can happen so easily. Verse 10, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. These are words, dear friends, to mark down. To ask the Lord to help us to live by them, to walk by them. If we understand our own shortcomings and failings, dear friends, let us understand it in our brethren together. You know, it was Euodius and Syntyche that Paul requested that they come together. What was it between them, dear friends? Well, it doesn't exactly say to us, but there was a separation, there was a difference. They were parted. He prayed that they should come together. And dear friends, while they're separate, Satan is in glee and he stands. But when they come together, Satan will fall. Satan will fall because it's he that comes into us. The words of our text. And the world passeth away. Dear friends, we haven't got any occasion to go against each other. The world passeth away. It doesn't mean that heaven and earth passeth away. That is a different word that the Lord Jesus spoke on that occasion in the Gospels. But the world passeth away. It's the fashion of the world that passeth away. Things that existed many years ago are no longer there. When I returned to the Midlands after about 50 some years separation from the Midlands, when I returned, I went to see what I knew and 50 years previous, how things had changed. Some things were not there anymore. Some things had decayed, come to nothing. New things had been raised up. I went to view where my father's business was when he ran a business. It's all empty, vacant. Nothing there. I had difficulty finding it. Everything's changing, dear friends. We've been on a few days' holiday in the Yorkshire Dales. And we went to one or two castles. We had an interesting holiday, but brought to mind were the many things that existed many years ago. Many things that people would look upon, admire and wonder at. Now there's hardly one stone upon another. The history of the place, it's in history, yes, but forgotten. the way that men lived. The world passeth away. The world passeth away. The fashion of it. And when the world passeth away, we see also wealth and riches, fame, honour, yes, glory even. That passeth away. We may see that what we have and possess and what we own today, it will pass away. It will go from us. We're stewards of everything that we've got. We don't really possess anything. They go from us. They will go from us. The world passeth away. We see things today that we're not going to see in a little time. The rich are living upon their riches, their possessions, their wealth. But it's going to pass away. It's going to become nothing. And we're not to live to them. If the Lord has placed us and given us these things, they're temporary. They're but for a little moment. Shall not abide forever. I went to see the house that I once lived in about 55 years ago. And it needs maintenance, it needs upkeep. It's decaying. The world passeth away. And when we think that the world passeth away, isn't it that we look to our own lives? The brevity of our days, the shortness of our days. David said that his hands were but as an handbreadth. Not much distance. And our lives may be such, dear friends. If we think of our hand as space or time, our days upon the earth are but few. And we're here for a short moment of time. For our life is but as a vapour. But it shall soon vanish away. Dear friends, isn't it a solemn thought? You see, it's really this truth. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. We may see another day. We may see another day. The Lord may favour us to see another day. But there's going to come a day, dear friends, when it will not be so. Our days are with the Lord. It is a wonderful truth if we come into a sensible knowledge of that, that our days are with the Lord and we live each day unto Him. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright. Our days are with Him. And it is our mercy, dear friends, in all that the Lord has given to us, that we're stewards of them. We only have them for a little time and a season here below. The world passeth away. What we have will pass away. And we ourselves will pass away. They're the temporal things of this life. We're not to hold to them. We're not to think that we're going to hold possession of them for a great number of years. We're not. The world passeth away. The fashion of it. The things of it. What the Lord has given to us, how He's provided for us. He has blessed us with our vocation. He has placed us in our employment. But the world passeth away. We're in the world, but we're not part of it. But it's going to pass away. It's going to pass from us. It has done our forefathers. And the lust thereof, the vanities of this life, the pleasures of this life, those things that man will cleave to by nature, the pleasures that they will seek after, their vanity, they are but for a little time. And they shall be no more. The loss thereof, the gains that man will seek to make from this world, and yet it is going to pass from them, and the loss thereof. It is only for a little moment. It is a mercy, dear friends, if we can come into the truth of these things for ourselves and to know that it is the Lord Himself that is our all and in all. That it is the Lord Himself most needful to us, to keep us, to provide for us, to supply all our needs and help us to live by faith upon Him and to serve Him. The world passeth away and the lust thereof. But I thought of the wondrous truth of the Lord's dear people. Whilst this world passeth away, there are some things, dear friends, that we're engaged upon, that it is a great part of our lives, that shall never pass away. The psalmist loved the Lord's house. A day in thy courts is better than 1,000, he said. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Oh, there's something here, dear friends, that is abiding and lasting. I'm speaking of these. I know it's the next portion of my text, but I just want to speak of these things, dear friends, in connection with the present world and how that men will live in this world and live to pleasure and vanity. All is vanity, saith the preacher. All is vanity. But, dear friends, the possession that the Lord's people have, what the Lord has done and wrought for them, the Lord's house, a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. Is Christ precious to thy soul? If he leaves a token of his love into thy poor soul, dear friends, thou hast something to take thee to heaven and glory. That is the mercy, isn't it? We can look above all these inferior things here below, and we can see that they're vanity and they're but for a little time and season. And in a moment they will not be anymore. No. But oh, those things, dear friends. I thought of Moses. You know, he's one that was so blessed, you know. He could have had the world, as it were. Could have been a rich man, the richest man in the world. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Dear friends, is Christ, is he that one, dear friends, that's rich in our poor souls? Is it he that has got an abiding place in our souls? You know, he cast out the usurper, didn't he? Is it Christ that dwells in us? Are we rich in Christ? Rich in his love? Rich in faith towards him? Rich, dear friends, because we're owned by him. There is no richer people upon the face of the earth than the Lord's dear people. Why, they have a kingdom and an inheritance forever that will never pass away. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof. I thought of that hymn 991, and it's a nice hymn. Emptied of earth I fain would be, the world, myself, and all but thee, only reserved for Christ that died, surrendered to the crucified, sequestered from the noise and strife, the lust, the pomp, the pride of life, for heaven alone my heart prepare, and have my conversation there. Oh, are these things meaningful to our poor souls, dear friends? Is Christ precious to thy soul? He says, detached from sublunary joys, one that would only hear thy voice, thy beauty see, thy grace admire, nor glow but with celestial fire. Oh, precious Christ, in possession, dear friends. Oh, that he might be our all and in all. I could from all things parted be, but never, never, Lord, from thee. Is that, dear friends, the mercy that we have found? None but Christ. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof. What a mercy, dear friends, it is. He says, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. What is it to do the will of God, dear friends? I believe it's the whole worship of God. I believe, dear friends, it's the poor soul devoted to his worship, devoted to his name, to his love, to his service. It's through grace, dear friends. We've read together in respect of this wondrous truth. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. That's the blessing, isn't it? I mean, it says regarding the fathers also and then the young men, but they've all been pardoned sinners. And this is the blessing, isn't it? That one whose sins have been pardoned and forgiven, isn't he rich in Christ? Rich in possession? Why? He has the whole Word of God on his side. The Scriptures. Is there any more precious book than this, dear friends? No, there isn't. It's where Jesus is. It's where he speaks to us. It's where he comes to our case and to our need. It is he that is preached and proclaimed through the pulpit, dear friends. It is he that comes near to his people. Oh, what is it, dear friends, here to do the will of God? It's this, dear friends. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. It's coming to his feet, dear friends. It's the whole worship of our God. Oh, let it delight thy soul to come into the means of grace and to seek God. He is our God. We're little children and our sins have been forgiven through God's especial and glorious, unspeakable gift to us, his dearly beloved Son. Oh, to do the will of God now, dear friends, to serve him, to honour him. And it's being found in his worship and devotion to him. Oh, let it be our desire to come to the Lord's house, to worship at his feet. Let us know what it is, dear friends, to have God in our homes. Let us know what it is to seek him in prayer and in his word, dear friends, to read his word. Let him be in our homes too. This is the will of God, dear friends. You know, what the Lord has done for us, dear friends, is done forever. Our religion isn't part-time. No. I know that we have many things to do lawfully here below and proper things to do, yes. But do we not follow the Lord in all these things? I used to like to go to work, you know, dear friends. And there was a little place that I used to go and sit behind a boiler. And, dear friends, I used to bow my head in prayer at my workplace. And I loved to do it because I did feel so near to him. Dear friends, seek him. Please him. This is his will for us. To seek him as oft as it is possible for us to do so. It will never be a burden to us, dear friends. Why? Why? It's the most glorious thing on the face of this earth to be a pardoned sinner. Never forget that, dear friends. There's nothing so blessed, nothing so great, dear friends. It's that dear suffering man upon the tree at Calvary, isn't it? Let us know what it is to do the will of God. Let us know this wonderful truth. How to serve him. How to please him. Paul exhorts the church at Colossae. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above. Where Christ sitteth at the right hand of the Father. Set your affection on things that are above and not on the earth. Not on the earth. It is passing away, dear friends. But affections on things that are above. It's Jesus that is above, isn't it? It's Jesus that is above. A risen Saviour. A glorious truth for us. And when he said that I go to prepare a place for you, our forerunner has gone before us. He has entered into that place. He has prepared it for us. May our affection be set upon things that are above. It is our mercy, dear friends. I believe it was in the first hymn, that great cloud of witnesses, and looking up, dear friends, to that place that is prepared for the Lord's dear people. By faith, you see, by faith. Those that have gone before us, those with whom we have walked with and enjoyed their company spiritually, and now the Lord has been pleased to take them to himself. They've always belonged to him, and he's going to take them to himself, that they should be with him forever, that they should never again fall into sin, that they should never again, dear friends, be snarled up with Satan, that they should never again be overtaken by this world. He's going to take them to himself, that they should enjoy complete peace and joy and happiness with him. Oh, their end, dear friend, is great and blessed. Yet Jesus has prepared it for them. And he will personally bring his people to that place prepared. And they will behold him and see him as he is. May our affection be set upon things that are above. And then there is a walking with the Lord. I thought of that word, be ye therefore followers of God, as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. May we walk with God and walk in love, walk in union and fellowship, walking in love. I think I mentioned Noah this morning. He walked with God. Abraham also walked with God. Dear friends, what it is to walk with God is to walk with him in his word, keep his word and his sayings in our hearts. Let the scriptures and his word be the rule and the manner and the conduct of our lives. Dear friends, this is not a harsh commandment to follow. No. Because the Lord has broken up our hardness and rebellings. He has humbled us under his mighty hand. He has brought us, dear friends, and given us that meek and lowly spirit. We often pray for to know more of his nature. And dear friends, it will not be burdensome to take up with Christ and to follow him. No. See what he has done for us. See the constrainings of his love upon us. No. His commandments are not grievous. And then to walk with God, dear friends, is to serve him, to give glory to his name, to walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. To walk after the new man of grace. You see, we're old things, we're new creatures. We're brought We've been brought into a new and a living way to serve the Lord, to follow him, to give glory to him. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Oh, may we be helped and enabled to do the will of God. We will continue to pray and ask for grace and faith to be faithful to him, that he would keep us and preserve us in his love and fear. And but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. What is this abiding forever, dear friends? You see, the world passeth away. There's a wonderful truth here, dear friends. The will of God that abideth forever. Isn't it in what God is and what God has done for us? Isn't it being bound up in his everlasting love? Can the church ever be removed from that love? He rests in his love towards us. And in that love, dear friends, it will bring us through our course. And dear friends, that's that love in Christ Jesus that shall never be removed from us. It's an everlasting love. And Jesus says that, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the end, abideth forever. Oh, his love never changes, dear. Ours does, doesn't it? But, oh, his love doesn't change to us, dear friends. It abides forever. And what a mercy, dear friends, to feel and to know that love in our poor souls. See it in Jesus. See it in what he has done for us. Greater love hath no man than this. Oh, that love that Jesus showed of God the Father to sinners upon the cross at Calvary. Once in him forever, is the wonderful truth. And then we have the covenant of grace. And we've just sung of that in our second hymn. Dear friends, it abides forever. Oh, what God has done in Christ and agreed upon in harmony, and what has been set down in the covenant of grace for his people, it will never alter or change. No, nothing at all, not one iota will change. In that covenant of grace, thy whole life is in it. Every part of thy life. Thy redemption and salvation is in it. What a mercy, dear friends. Heaven and glory is in it. The manner of our lives is in the covenant of grace. What a mercy, dear friend. Unchanging. And David, oh, he clave to that covenant of grace. Came to the end of his days. Though my heart be not so with God, yet hath he made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure, the sure mercies of David, David's greater son. Oh, dear friends, there's no greater sure mercies than what Christ has done and wrought for sinners, by and through his sufferings and death at Calvary. And those things, dear friends, revealed and made known in the soul of a poor sinner will never change and never alter. No, the covenant of grace stands sure and certain. It's upon a sure foundation of God's promise in Christ. Oh, this is a wonderful truth, this. Abideth forever. And then, dear friends, his word, faithfulness of his word and his promises. Has he ever failed thee, dear friends? Has he ever failed in any promise towards his people? No. They abide and remain forever. Oh, how the promises of our God have been such a comfort and a blessing to the Lord's dear people, all their journeyings through. He says, I shall not fail thee nor forsake thee. Has he ever failed thee? Has he ever forsaken thee? No, he cannot. He may, dear friends, have hidden his face from thee for a moment, for his divine purposes and the purposes of his grace towards thee. But, dear friends, no. What a mercy it is, dear friends. We've got something here that we can rest our poor souls upon. Those things that are abiding, you know, there's something else, dear friends. We're his children. That can never change. Little children. I believe John may be calling them little children, as perhaps some of them have been called through his gospel. But no, they're God's children. God's children. Adoption through Christ. Predestinated to the adoption of children by Christ Jesus unto God the Father. Reconciled. Can never change, dear friends. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus to an inheritance and to a kingdom. And this kingdom, dear friends, shall never pass away. No. Oh, the Lord deliver us from all these inferior things here below. And keep us, dear friends, from seeking more than what we need. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Dear friends, they shall abide forever. And the Lord will be pleased to come to us and to take us to himself, and that his people shall enter into that inheritance, incorrupt and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Dear friends, it can never change or alter. Reserved in heaven for you. And then, dear friends, little children, it is the last time. And I do pray, dear friends, I believe, I know the gospel times are the last times, but if we take notice of the word of the Lord and those things that is bidden us to watch for, we live in most solemn times, dear friends. And I believe that it is the last time. And the Lord has said that he is coming again. And are we waiting for him? Well, it's the will of God, dear friends, that we should. And it's the will of God that we should pray about it. Because that is the word that has been given to us. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Shall we be watching, waiting, praying? Shall we be children of the light and children of the day? It says, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Well, dear friends, let us wait and pray. The Lord is coming again. It may not often be in our prayers, but perhaps it may be a start now. I pray that I might be waiting for the Lord. And all these things here, the world and all the lusts, and all the things of time and sense, dear friends, I want to hold very loosely. And I seek and desire that Jesus will be my all. I am watching, waiting, praying for his appearing. And dear friends, it will be a glorious day when he doth come and appear. Because in that day the church will be bold, as we have read together, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. That is, dear friends, just like we come freely to the throne of grace to our God through Jesus Christ, then in that day, dear friends, we shall have that same boldness and confidence when he shall appear, that it shall be well with us in that day through Jesus Christ. Is our mercy. May we be helped to wait for him and his appearing before us. Amen.
God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Chapman. Mr. Adrian Pickett is engaged to preach on Friday evening, and Mr. Jabez Rutt next Lord's Day. And there'll be a meeting of the Gospel Standard Trust at Ogington next Saturday afternoon. Our closing hymn is 117. Awake, sweet gratitude, and sing the ascended Saviour's love. Sing how he lives to carry on his people's cause above. 117.
Thank you.
Lord, be pleased to own and bless thy word amongst us to the glory of thy name. Pardon and forgive everything that has been amiss and sinful with us. Help us now, Lord, to come before thee in the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. Prepare our hearts, Lord, that we may partake of the symbols and remember what thou didst come to do for sinners. Now may thy grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us, now and for ever. Amen.